Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Berean Post Devotional Podcast. We are going to be taking a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and I am just going to jump into the text as is my custom. Paul starts off by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I tell you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Again, that's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 3. In this passage, it represents a significant transition in Paul's letter. It focuses on the topic of spiritual gifts within the Corinthian community. As we delve into this passage, it's essential to understand that the broader context provided by the preceding chapters. Throughout the first 11 chapters, Paul addresses various issues plaguing the Corinthian church, ranging from divisions and moral controversies to questions about worship and the Lord's Supper. Throughout the study of this epistle up to this point, we can see that Paul's responses are tailored to guide the Corinthians towards unity and maturity in the faith. As we enter chapter 12, Paul shifts his attention to spiritual gifts. This is a topic of great importance for the life and function of the Christian community. Paul begins with a clear imperative. He does not want the Christians to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So when he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant," we can see past Paul's pastoral concern, and we can see it becomes evident. But why? Well, the Corinthian church was a diverse community with members from various social, religious, and cultural backgrounds. This diversity included converts from paganism who were accustomed to different spiritual practices and expressions. By stating his desire for them not to be ignorant, Paul indicates his pastoral concern to guide them towards a correct understanding of spiritual gifts as defined by Christian theology, distinct from pagan practices. The historical context suggests that spiritual gifts were misused or displayed disorderly within the Corinthian church. This misuse likely stemmed from the lack of understanding about these gifts. The gift's purpose and proper use. For instance, the misuse of speaking in tongues within the Corinthian church provides a clear example of how spiritual gifts were displayed disorderly. This practice of disorder was contrary to Paul's guidance that everything in the church should be done for edification and in an orderly fashion. In the broader Greco-Roman world, rather, spiritual phenomena were often associated with ecstatic experiences and the influence of various deities. For instance, the cult of Dionysus, the god of wine, fertility, and ecstasy, was renowned for its ecstatic rituals and spiritual phenomena. Followers of Dionysus, often known as Bacchants or Maenads, participated in frenzied rites that included dancing, intoxication, and other forms of physical ecstasy, believed to bring them closer to their deity. These rituals were characterized by a loss of self-control and altered states of consciousness, and were seen as a form of divine possession by the spirit of Dionysus. This cultural backdrop of spiritual expression through ecstatic practices would have influenced how new Christians, converts, especially those from such pagan backgrounds, initially understood and practiced spiritual gifts. So Paul's teachings were aimed at clarifying and redefining the nature of spiritual manifestations within the Christian context, stressing self-control, order, and the edifying purpose of such gifts, contrasting sharply with the chaotic and self-gratifying expressions prevalent in pagan worship services. By focusing on spiritual gifts, Paul aimed to reorient the Corinthians' understanding of the Holy Spirit as a singular source of these gifts and their purpose to build up the church body rather than personal glorification or social status. As indicated in earlier chapters of the epistle, the Corinthian church struggled with divisions and competitiveness. In discussing spiritual gifts, Paul addresses the potential for gifts to exasperate these divisions if misapplied or valued disproportionately. His teaching aims to foster a spirit of unity and mutual edification where spiritual gifts benefit the whole community, not just individual members. Paul's approach to addressing these issues of spiritual gifts also laid a theological foundation for understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian community. This was crucial for their spiritual maturity and setting a precedent in the church practice and doctrine concerning charismatic gifts. The phrase, "and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit," does not imply it's physically impossible for someone to utter Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Instead, Paul emphasizes a more profound spiritual truth about the confession of faith in Jesus Christ. In the context of this passage, Paul's statement is theological and concerns genuine faith and allegiance. When he says that no one can genuinely proclaim Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, he means that a sincere and meaningful acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord as an acknowledgement that reflects a real commitment to him and his teachings. Well, that can only be done when a person is influenced and enabled by the Holy Spirit. This confession goes beyond lip service. It's a declaration of a transformed heart and mind, which the Holy Spirit brings about. Paul describes the Holy Spirit's role in granting believers a deep spiritual wisdom that transcends mere verbal acknowledgement, particularly in 1 Corinthians 2:10, 12, where he speaks of the Spirit's ability to understand the deep things of God. This divine insight is essential for genuine confession of Jesus as Lord, as further emphasized by Paul in discussions on the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in sanctifying believers, the diversity of spiritual gifts, and the importance of love as a fruit of the Spirit. Additionally, Paul calls for self-examination in faith and authenticity, reinforces that confessing Jesus as Lord involves a profound personal conviction and sincerity enabled by the Holy Spirit. Our passage here sets the stage for the discussion to follow in chapters 12 to 14, where Paul will provide a more detailed exploration of the variety, purpose, and the proper use of spiritual gifts, all aimed at building up the body of Christ in love and harmony.